The following program, Flame On, is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Welcome to Flame On. I'm Brian. I'm here with everybody, including Oral.
Hi.
BJ.
We've been drinking.
Pat.
What up?
And myself, in case I didn't already say that. So, a little while back, we teased the idea that we might be talking about the Netflix. I want to say HBO for some bizarre reason. I want to say HBO.
Because we've got HBO on the brain. We'll talk about that later. Come
true.
On.
True. The show The Get Down. And I think, Oral, you're the one who may have brought it up.
No,
you brought it up.
No.
I thought it was Ron.
Was it Ron? Well, yeah. Okay, so out external to Flame On, we did have Ron bring it up, but we had talked about it prior.
Well, Carlos told me we had a conversation with Oral about it one day before a recap.
Mm-hmm.
And then we mentioned it in one of our full cast recordings.
So, A, Ron, this is all thanks to your generous endowment. And I mean that in every way that I know, which is
giggity.
Money.
This is how I know Brian's drunk.
Yeah, right?
Not that drunk. So I've just been playing with loaded dice. But no, we really dug the show. I think all of us kind of like picked up on it here and there.
You could say we got down with the show?
Yes, you could say that. But right. I don't wish you would.
I'm going to be a little honest. So when I first watched it, and prior to the recording of this episode, I thought to myself, it would be cute. And this is a thought I should never have. I was like, it would be cute if I had like sat down and written like some sort of opening rap for the episode.
Oh, that would have been cute.
I wrote it down.
Oh, what?
I tried to. And then I realized I will never let this see the light of day. And I burned the notebook.
Wait a minute, though. Was it like the scene in the show where the guy's doing it? And they're like, wait, no.
Zeke?
Do it. Zeke? Do
Zeke,
it
the main
time.
Character?
It do was, it double time. It
no, was, not
Ra-Ra.
Not
was,
Zeke. Not
that
Zeke.
Was Ra-Ra.
Ra-Ra?
Zeke yep. is the main character.
Yeah, so yeah.
It was Ra-Ra. It was when they was were Ra-Ra, yeah. right before they actually went to the DJ battle. When they were trying to go through the rhymes.
He's like fucking it up. Every time, and they're like, no.
Yeah, that
do
was
a slower
rah-rah.
Beat. Let him do it double time, and then he fucking nails it.
Yeah, that was rah-rah.
So, you
and
could have
I sat down and I started writing stuff out for everybody, and I was like,
oh wow.
And then I burned the notebook because I was like, oh no, this is not a thing I am adept at or even talented at. So now,
okay, so this show, which is on Netflix, and you can go watch it right now. You can stream the whole thing, 6 episodes, about. Probably about 6.5-7 hours, somewhere in there. Baz Luhrmann produced, but not entirely. Like, yeah, he wrote some of it. He directed some of it. But I mean, it's a Baz Luhrmann project with many other people. Nas, I believe, was involved.
Yeah. Yep.
Grandmaster Flash actually found out he was involved somewhat. Ed Piskor from Hip Hop Family Tree, which. If you have not, if you're a comic book fan, you have not checked out Hip Hop Family Tree.
Or you love hip hop. Or
music, you love
hip
hop. Yeah. It is fantastic. I actually wish I had read that prior. But then again, I also now am like more than likely to get the whole collection because this was actually a lot of new information to me. I knew about Grandmaster Flash. I taught about Grandmaster Flash back in my music education stuff.
In my mind, you taught people how to spin and scratch.
No. But let me tell you, when I saw what they were doing with that, which if you haven't seen the show,
see, kids, that's how you do it. Back in the day, you know, we call this analog.
We are going to.
My name is Beatmaster Brian.
Oh my God. Oh, with the air horn. No, we're going to spoil the shit out of the show. So if you haven't seen it, you might want to stop, go watch it, come back. But no, that scene where he explains the crayon, mm-hmm. that was transformative because we used to talk about analog tape and how you would use the tape markers to cut up parts and do this sort of music concrete thing. So when they actually, that was a whole lesson that they had to learn. That was really interesting. And I had never seen that. I'd never heard that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this show is so like it's the myth, but it's also the history, which is, you know, partly myth of this music genre, but also disco. And that's what I didn't really appreciate at first. Like, I thought it was just going to be about hip hop. No, it's disco, hip hop, and New York City.
Yeah, and it all takes place in the summer of 1977, which was also the summer of the massive blackout. There's a lot of political stuff going on. I mean,
the Bronx is literally on fire.
Yep.
Do you guys know about the blackout? Like, I had known about it from connections with James Burke.
My mother lived through the blackout.
Did she really?
Because she was born and raised in New York. So she was there during the blackout, and she told me this one story. Funny enough, during hurricane season, and we had a power failure.
Oh my gosh.
And she's like, walk me through like her youth, which was really cool. Oh, and wow. So like I felt like this was the New York that my mother had lived. But she was a Brooklyn's Queens girl. So she never lived in the Bronx.
Okay.
We have family in the Bronx, but she never lived in the Bronx.
Well, it's so funny, for many years, Bronx to me was always such a like negative term, and I didn't know why. I had no appreciation for the history of it, nothing. Just from the South Florida sort of New York transplant community, Bronx was a bad word, and I didn't know why. And now this kind of reveals
Pat, why does the Bronx suck in the connotation? It's really far out there. Nobody goes there.
Yeah.
I heard they have a lovely zoo. I don't know. I heard that.
So when my sister moved up.
We should go to Bronx. We go to Bronx this year.
No, I'm good.
Oh, I was so excited last year. Went to New York City and I'd never been to Brooklyn. And I was like, we got to go to Brooklyn. And there's an event in Brooklyn, this whole thing. And I was like, Brooklyn. And then I get there. I'm like, this is really
This is
how dare you.
This isn't like Will and Grace.
No, it wasn't. No, but I didn't like we didn't. I mean, we went to a specific part of Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. But it was like, I was like, Brooklyn. Brooklyn. But Bronx probably going to be a lot like that.
Just worse.
No, seriously, I just watched the Show Me a Hero, the HBO show about Yonkers and the projects that they were trying to build in Yonkers.
Yonkers.
Exactly. East Yonkers. And like, I'm fascinated by culture and city planning and the politics of the whole thing. I love that. That's really interesting to me. So this show scratches that itch. What's his name? You kept calling him Edwards
the poor Smith. Man. The poor Jimmy man's Smith. Edward James Olmos.
He's totally not.
With slightly better skin.
Jimmy Smits plays an important role in this miniseries.
He does. He plays Papa Fuerte, who's in charge of the community
center.
He's
a community developer. He's trying.
Papa Legbo?
No, he's not a voodoo guy. He's trying to build.
He might as well be. He pay tithes and offerings to him. He makes things happen. He calls on stronger spirits, the Manhattaners and the Manhattanites and Ed Koch. Yeah.
I love the way they portrayed Ed Koch.
Oh my God. It was almost the, how am I doing? I mean, it was really that, which having just not too long ago seen Short Bus, where Ed Koch makes a cameo, like that whole thing kind of comes full circle now.
Pat, did you get the somewhat fey sensibilities of Ed Koch? Because, I mean, you know Ed Koch.
Yeah. I was confused. When he was doing a speech in the last episode, the guy who played him, I felt, was channeling the comedian that's been doing Trump a lot lately.
Did say that.
Yep.
And a cross between him and Jay Leno. And in a slightly gay fashion. So, yes, I mean, it really just it portrayed very interestingly.
And according to Outrage, Koch a homosexual. But let's back it up because we're not doing a very good job about.
It's shotgun approach right now.
Yeah. Okay. So the Get Down is about a group of kids in the late 1970s who have been friends for X amount of years. They experienced poverty, violence. Drugs are, very prominent, but they have dreams. One of which is he's incredibly smart. He's a poet. doesn't really know how to express himself. He lost both parents, lives with his aunt and uncle in the projects. And not necessarily projects, but a high rise, which you know is a projects because it's the Bronx in 1977.
Yep.
There is his love interest, the Mylene, who is this like incredibly like tenacious disco wannabe singer.
Boricua, like. Her amazing singer.
You taught him that word, Pat, and I'm very proud of you.
Pat did not teach me Boricua, but it, you know, it's, so it's easier to pronounce.
It's her the one that plays the love interest. It's almost like it's you have these kind of diverging and intersecting storylines between Ezekiel
star-crossed, if you will.
Ezekiel and Mylee, and Mylee's played by Herzen F. Garadolia. And the thing similar to Stranger Things, a lot of the young actors in this have really done almost nothing. They've just kind of
except Will Smith's kid.
Well, except Jaden Smith, who was actually one of my favorite characters.
He well, I mean,
Dizzy
plays the gay character of sorts.
Well, I mean,
or the experimenting.
He's the free spirit.
Free spirit.
He falls in love with Thor.
Teenager kind of coming into. You know, he does tagging.
He's the Banksy of that era.
Yeah, and I mean, him and his little brothers, Boo Boo Ra Ra, all of them.
I love Boo Boo Ra Ra.
Which, by the way, their father, the jazz sax player,
yes,
from Mr. Robot,
mm-hmm.
Amazing. I loved him, Mr. Robot. I love him in this. Great.
You actually, usually when I watch dramas like this, I don't like the parents.
Yeah,
I'm not. But all his the parents are awesome. All the parents, you kind of get a better idea of the main characters because of how they were raised and who raised them.
That's important.
But we're sidetracking.
We're going all over the place.
Both of them have dreams. One unrealized. One, Mylene, she wants to be a disco singer. But how can she do that with her strict preacher of a Pentecostal father?
We've all been there.
The mother who seems to be really quiet and has this like history about her that we're not sure of.
Can I just say it was very odd that a Puerto Rican family was Pentecostal to me?
It wasn't said
until like the end. Like there was no, they didn't really talk about the denomination until.
I didn't need to know. I knew.
Well,
I didn't.
I've only been accepted to two religions. So I'm a little bit more ignorant of how other churches operate, but growing up in a Puerto Rican household in New York, it was very odd for Pentecostal to be the denomination that it was. Yeah. So when Papa Shango, I'm just going to keep changing it up. When Bad Edward James Olmos is fighting with a skinny, repressed preacher man. I can never remember names. And he starts saying about Pentecostal and then drug addict piano player. They were all talking about him like
Jose Moreno.
Sure.
I knew that.
Yep.
it was just so weird. I was like, I was almost snapped out of the scene and I was like, what, who? Pentecostal?
Yeah.
All right.
I was surprised by that too because let's be honest, the Catholics are the main faith that colonized Puerto Rico. Like,
yeah.
And like Hawaii, similarly, the Protestants kind of took that over.
And that was, like, I mean, it was surprising, but at the same time, when I saw the episodes with Miley's father, who's played by Giancarlo Esposito, who played the Magic Mirror in Once Upon a Time. He's been in virtually everything.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, interesting.
He's also in the new Maze Runner movie coming out soon.
Oh.
And the mother's played by Zambarnia.
I've seen Guaviera. Her before.
She's been in everything.
Yeah, she's in
Elementary, Gotham. She played the commissioner in Gotham.
Yep, that's there you go. I knew Burn I Notice. Recognized her.
I'm so excited for any Spanish-speaking listener to sit there and just cringe every time we
that's
say
that's fine.
I'm a white man, and when I heard you say Giancarlo. I thought, is it Giancarlo? I mean, is it G? I don't know. Is that
Giancarlo,
right?
Feel free to correct us.
That's what I thought. That's what I would have expected. Anyway,
Mr. So. Esposito. There we go. That's the part I can pronounce properly.
I'm glad you said that about the wife, because I'm like, I know I've seen her in something, and that's what it was, Gotham.
But seeing the family in the church, I did notice when I was watching, when they would have scenes where they were in church and everything, that they didn't have a lot of people in that church. It wasn't a big congregation.
Have you been to a Pentecostal church before?
Yes.
Okay, so you know it doesn't have to be a lot of people. No. They move around.
They do.
A lot. And what I think makes sense from a storytelling perspective is if you know at the end of your story you have to have the singer out front singing with the church choir, getting up, dancing, that makes a lot more sense in a Catholic church. So I bet you, if anything, that was a choice of historicity versus storytelling, and this makes more sense. That's my guess.
I was half expecting it to be Santeria.
That would have actually
just not in
made
a church,
sense,
but it's a
though.
Whole.
That would have made
know,
more sense.
Chicken
blessing
being waved all
can
around.
Can I still get a chicken blessing?
Sure.
Can I sign up for that?
And that,
sure.
And that was the thing is Baz Luhrmann's apparently known for.
You just can't laugh about it.
Debating.
I'm not gonna laugh.
Baz Luhrmann's known for having debates with his actors on how a character will develop and how a character, like how things should transpire. Right. So he literally will go up to his actors and be like, so, how do you think Papa Fuerte would react in this situation?
Well, Luhrmann is such a visual and sort of, he's like almost a music video director. And
yes.
So it's very visual. It's very music driven. I was most appreciative of reading about Grandmaster Flash and how much he had an involvement, because he's still alive, and how much he had an involvement in his the guy who played him and that whole relationship, and how much that affected the story too, which that is great, because he is a figure right in the center of this whole, at least the hip hop side of it. And so I'm really appreciative that he was involved.
Pause. Yes. Because I realize now that both of you are really you're really tipsy and you're all over the place, and we haven't given the synopsis of, no, just so let me, okay, I'll give the synopsis. Okay. So The Get Down is about two star-crossed lovers, both with amazing talents in different areas. Ezekiel is incredibly smart, is a poet, wants to do something with his life, but he's not really sure what. Mylene is the love of his life. He's loved her forever. She's incredibly talented. She is a singer and wants to be this disco star. And we see her friends and Zeke's friends kind of navigate the Bronx during this really pivotal and transformative time in New York City in general. And on top of that, you have, you know, the drug dealers, you have this emerging new genre of like hip hop and rap when disco is dying out, but people don't know it yet. You have, you know, urban city planning and people trying to come in and manipulate people and use people to garner more money, all with this sort of like in the streets, battling it out, however the case may be. And all of these sort of like, stories and lead-ins culminate into these kids just trying to survive.
I think that sums it up nicely, Oral.
Yes.
And that's all we have. No, seriously.
And episode over.
No,
bye.
We agree. I mean, that's the story. But what I think sells this so much is Baz Luhrmann's
sound effects.
No. Well, that's true. Actually, when you told me about it, you're like, think Enter the Dragon plus.
I didn't say Enter the Dragon.
You said Bruce Lee.
No, I didn't. What I said
was... Please tell what you said.
Okay. Think Fame.
Okay.
And The Last Dragon, as in
the
Motown's
Dragon.
The Barry Gordon's Last Dragon.
There you go.
I missed... Okay, yep. I took that the wrong way. Yeah.
Meets New Jack City. And that's what The Get Down is.
Totally is.
I don't think I ever saw New Jack City. Actually.
It's really good.
But it's...
Go back and watch
it's that. From... It, but you get more of that feel from the side of... From Ezekiel's kind of storyline, especially when they introduce DJ Shaolin Fantastic, with the way, like, he's almost kind of got this slightly parkour sort of way of getting around.
Ridiculously parkour.
Which is the Last Dragon part, yeah.
Yeah.
Or Enter the Dragon.
So you've got all this stuff, and you've got his storyline that kind of intersects with Ezekiel's, and you've got his, so you're right, you've got Ezekiel's friends, you've got my Lee's friends, but it's like my Lee's side of things feels very different from Ezekiel's side of things. So
what
it's
I
really
also
about whatever you're picking, which part of the story you like more.
I also appreciate the fact, from the music industry perspective, the Moreno story, as much as that era was coked out crazy,
yep,
they get into what makes a disco hit and the layering and the multi-track recording, which is an absolute fact. That was a production quality that was amped way up in that era. Even if you had people from all over the place and then you just kept layering, strings, vocals, more strings. All of that, and then the gay culture, this is the brings it back to our kind of core audience. The gay culture, the gay clubs were the tastemakers of that era, if not still. I
mean, you know, let's be real, done. Still.
But like,
I was just sad that that was such a dumbed down part of the 6-part series. Like, I was hoping for more of that because it brought such a life and a vibrance to the story. Yeah. That I would like to have seen it interjected a little bit more.
Which is why, you know, the Get Down is done in 2 parts. So we've got the first part, the second part is coming, and that should finish it out. And I'm hoping that's what we're getting in the second part, because...
Yeah, but the talk of the second part is more of the 80s.
The 80s, yeah.
So
the fall of disco and all that.
It'll be interesting to see how that's put into play in that second part.
But you're right. Like, once... And that's not just... us, like, it was just this whole different, like, underground. So we already have this underground, like, movement that we're digging into, but like disco and early hip hop had a lot in common.
Sure. No, they're hand in hand.
Uh-huh. And to see like the underground party that's members only, I'm like, this is Paris is Burning.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And it was even the song that they choose was like the message is in the music, or the music is in the message. I can't remember the title.
The Marshall McLuhan song.
Well, there was the two, like at the party they were playing, was it Telepathy?
No, it's before Telepathy.
Yeah, there's a song before Telepathy, and then there was one of the main characters' songs, Set Me Free. And there was a nice flow. There was a really nice flow to it, especially since that was one of the characters who's very rebel driven. And at one point, you know, three of the characters are brothers, and they're sitting there talking about like how they're going to get
called
in trouble.
Love is the message. That's what
there it
love
is.
Love is the message. Okay.
They're talking about how they're going to get in trouble, and he's like, "Well, you're a rebel, so you need to rebel." And he's just like, "Well, fuck." So it's one of those things where, especially, was it Jack Moreno's character, or Jack Moreno is talking about how, you know, the homosexual community are the trendsetters. They're the rebels. They're the things that are up front in the news, and they're the ones that make all that culture happen.
Right.
You know, you have to impress them. You have to get your song to them. It was that I actually really liked that little touch on it. I wish they had done more.
I was pleased they had drag queens. They had voguing. They had all of like the Paris is Burning touches. Mm. And they wove it into the greater story. But what I actually took away is that moment. Is it Rumi? What was
Dizzy?
Dizzy. Mm-hmm. His experience in a gay bar for the very first time in that culture.
And
I wouldn't
ecstasy.
Even call it a gay bar.
You're right. It's just, not a gay bar. Back
it is
then.
Literally an underground party.
That was very reminiscent of my maybe not first experience, but one of my early experiences in a gay club. Not
Christina Aguilera was a drag queen.
Christina Aguilera. Quaaludes, the whole thing. No, I mean, just something about that overwhelming sense of there's so much going on.
The overstimulation.
The overstimulation and the boundary transgression that I may have had in my head. All of that to me was very reminiscent of my first, like, a major whatever gay bar, probably part of the house, experience. Like, that felt genuine and authentic and earned. And the fact that it played such a transformative moment in the story, progressing Mylene and her whole family's, you know, music career kind of thing. Like, that was really cool that they wove all that together. To me, the Get Down is like it's like a modern myth making of what happened in the 70s with hip hop and disco. And that's very important because we have so much of other musical eras, of other cultures. We don't have this until now. And so I'm really, really, as a musicologist, as someone who studies this and who's interested, this is important. This is really big. I am very thrilled that like Ed Pisker and Grandmaster Flash were involved in this. Nas, like people who actually have a valid perspective on this were involved. And I'm thrilled there's a second part because honestly, the end of the first season was like, what? Like I knew it was going to be a second season. I assumed they knew when they were going into this. But did you guys agree that the sort of wrap up of that last episode felt very like to be continued ...
Which I think is fine because we've gotten clips of that when we see Books, who also known as Zeke, also known as Ezekiel.
Right.
Is
the narrator.
He's giving us all this sort of like Greek chorus stuff where he's like, hey, this was my life. This is how rough it was. These are who the people who I surrounded myself with. My main partner in crime was Shaolin Fantastic, who we know isn't going to end up with a happy ending because when you sling drugs.
Yep.
That was. P.S. Fat Annie is one of my favorite characters.
I love her.
Because she's just, you know, that's what that story needs. It needs that element of just like, you know, exploitation sort of like film history. It kind of grounds it. And we got a dash of the Warriors where we were in Apache territory.
Right.
But to me, it seems like this is like a larger story and we just hit this sort of pause. We're at the intermission.
Okay.
So I don't necessarily dislike the fact that they left us and wrapped up the way that they did because I knew going in, especially when you look at the episode titles, part one, episode five.
Like, oh, I didn't see that. Okay.
Yeah. That's interesting.
It's basically, it's like we talk about season two, but it's really the second part of this first season or this story. That's it's good. Very, the way you describe it as a, as intermission works really well because you have a lot of people that are also involved with Hamilton that are involved in this show as well, including David Diggs, who is the narrator. Actually is one of my favorite parts, partially because his rhymes are all done by Nas.
Yep.
So at first I actually had to look it up because I thought it was Nas that was doing the narration because the way that it's done and the way it sounds, it's 100% Nas. It is absolutely, absolutely Nas written all over it. But Dibby Diggs does a great job as a narrator, turning those rhymes into kind of the Greek chorus that's giving you this outside perspective in a flashback and getting to this point. That last episode ends. Lights come up. All right, we all get to go get refreshments, go to the bathroom, and then, you know, next year when they bring back the rest of it, lights start flickering, we make our way back to our seats, and we get the rest of the story.
And the thing is, it's they're not treating people like they don't know their history or they can't look it up on Google. You know the disco era is 4 years from ending.
You know
all sorts of shit's about to happen. So they're giving you this moment of reprieve on a good note.
Right.
Like everybody who pretty much stepped up and said that they can do all the things they have promised to do, they're handling their shit. You know, Disco Fantastic's handling being a part of Fat Annie's family. He's being a DJ. Shaolin Fantastic is standing up, you know, being a part of Fat Annie's family, drug dealing, being a DJ. Ezekiel's doing the internship.
Ooh, which also another Mr. Robot alumni, the guy who played Gideon.
Yes.
He is the executive, the white dude with the crazy like punk daughter at the dinner. That's Gideon. And I love Gideon and Mr. Robot. I'm really glad he was in that show as well.
They did a really good job with the casting, but it was just that ending, everybody is setting up their path.
It makes sense as a intermission. I didn't realize that part one was there. I missed that completely. So I'm really glad that that was from the plan all along.
And I don't know. I'm not 100% sure. I'm assuming because in the first two or three episodes, you get somebody performing on stage now.
Yeah.
You get a flash forward.
That's supposed to be Ezekiel.
And you notice he's up on that stage alone.
Yeah.
So,
oh, no. Everybody died.
Yeah.
Like, and you know, the thing that I love most about this, besides the fact that there are nothing but different shades of brown people all over the place.
Yep.
It's that, you know, when Mylene starts to make it, she doesn't forget her best friends, her girlfriends, who aren't just these throwaway characters, just like the boys aren't these throwaway characters. Like, they're integral to creating, you know, our two leads mm-hmm. and who they are. Technically, I would say three leads with Shaolin. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we see these people kind of orbit around them. And you know, Mylene, of course, that she, you know, instead of her being like just solo group, they make her to be out. They make her and her friends to be like the 70s. Like younger Supremes. Mm-hmm. Like that's who it is. But if you know anything about girl groups and like the period towards the end of the 70s and the beginning of the 80s, they've got a tough row to hoe.
Yeah.
And you know it's not going to end well for all of them. And you know, anytime we see older books talk about Mylene, he gets really upset. And I'm just like, and I'm trying to make peace with they're gonna fridge her, but I don't think they're going to. Like, she may fall from grace, but I think she just, you know, this is my life.
Yeah.
I don't want this anymore. This is a path I've chosen, and that doesn't include you anymore.
Right. And I feel like they're setting that up because of books taking that path, and even older books at the narration towards the end of that last episode talks about that, mm-hmm. having to make peace with choosing a different path. They've committed to staying together and basically ruling the world together. And now she's going to do this one thing. That's what their plan was.
Yeah.
And now he's banging a hard right because he sees that he has the ability to make a difference for his community. Yeah. So he knows that they've had this conversation and they're going to go down this path together, but now he knows that that's not the same path that he's going to be on. So I see them setting that up already to be where eventually it's going to either cause friction or whatever the case is going to be, that they're not going to be together at the end of it.
Yeah. And it's cool to, you know, like I said, like my mother is from New York. Most of my family is still up there. Like having that heritage and seeing like those bits and pieces that I've always heard from people who lived through it. Like, I know that Ed Koch did really great things for New York as a whole, but there were a whole lot of issues that came with them.
Yeah.
You know, the marginalization, the war on drugs that just got out of control, you know, the introduction of, because, you know, up until this point, all we have is cocaine, but crack is around the corner, mm-hmm. and it's literally going to set everything on fire.
Yeah.
And it's cool to see like New York go through these like transformative growing pains and how that reflects on these characters and what that means going forward. I think that's what I think I'm most excited about. It's not just that Jaden Smith did like a pretty decent job portraying this like sort of out there character.
Mm-hmm.
And that I told a friend of mine, you are this character. When you watch this series, you are this character, hands down. He came back to me, afro and all. He's like, yep, that's me. That's me. And you're supposed to love me, and you know who you are, but you choose to make us both miserable with your heterosexuality. And I need you to keep that in, Pat. I need you to keep that in.
Oh.
I'm calling you out, and you know who you are. Probably. But it's really, I think this is so well done. And I will say this is not for everyone. And even I have my issues where, you know, sometimes the Mylene part kind of drag. And that's nothing against like the actress because she does a great job. It's just this awkward part in this story.
What about the Jackie Moreno parts where he is basically getting raped? Sort of.
You know what?
Love that.
I really like that character because it shows you, you know,
warts and all,
record producer really made this meteoric
talented
rise.
Talented musician.
Mm-hmm. Talented musician, and then just fell to pieces because what? Not even just coke. Smack.
Oh,
coke,
yeah,
smack, right. Bad karma. Because I lived for every moment he would walk up to somebody from his past and they'd be like, oh, good to see you, Jackie. Fuck off.
Yeah,
like,
no, seriously, there was some good comeuppance
yeah.
in that. And it was great because, again, that era is that's a story. That's a very common story.
You know, Pat, yeah. I'm not going to lie. As someone who knows music like inside and out, when he was like going through the creative process, a.k.a. his spiraling and his binge, and he showed up. I'm like, oh, like that subway scene where he's like, I think he's got it. And then he shows up to show Papa Puente, and he ain't got it. He's just playing the same like six chords over and over again. I'm like, they're going to kill this man. They're going to kill this man.
Yeah, it seemed like they were setting it up for a miracle save when the girls were singing I'll Be There on the subway, because he comes to a little bit, and he's just like, all right, it's going to be some spin-off of this. And
I love how it all came together, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was transformative. I was like, he's pulling this way out of his
ass. Well, the way he involved her family and her crazy, super overly religious father.
Uh-huh.
Like, just, it was like one of those moments where you're like, all right, Jackie, you fucked up a lot of shit. I need you to have a win. Even though it's not real, like nothing, and it was funny because nothing actually felt like a win for him.
Right.
It was just him keeping his shit barely together.
Mm-hmm. Spinning those plates.
Yep.
Spinning those plates. Yep.
But I think overall, what I think is this series' strongest attribute is that the characters are the characters and mm-hmm. they don't change because you want them to change. Like, you know, Jackie, even though he got through this, is still a fucking mess.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Like,
the sad part is I don't think many of them changed at all.
No.
It's
no.
really yeah. everybody is just kind of on the same path and the same level. Things may be working out in certain favors mm-hmm. for certain people, but you don't have any redemptions. You don't have any, you know, the only one that maybe you see a bit of a change is Mylene's father. And that's only because all of his demons get dragged out of the closet and are laid out in front of him. Mm-hmm. And that's what leads into the song, you know, Jackie's big brainstorm. But mm-hmm. even then, he's a little bit more tolerant of what has to happen.
Yeah.
But isn't, like, he's not fully accepting of it.
Yeah, which let me tell you this. 1977 Pentecostal is not going to be okay with his daughter singing for the gays. I'm just throwing that out there.
Right,
you're right.
This is someone who did a stint in a Pentecostal church. Ooh. That ain't happening.
No.
But I super loved it. Thought it was awesome. I was sad that it was only six episodes, even though the first one was super long. I know that I'm going to watch it again before the second half comes out, because I think it's great and it's lovely and it has all these elements that just mesh so well together, and I'm excited.
I think my favorite thing overall was every time you have Miley and Shaolin Fantastic bump heads.
Shaolin's the master that we call conductor, because Shaolin Fantastic, a bad mother.
How many times did they do that?
But it works because that's the Apache.
Yep.
Like,
and it was one of those things where like when they get to the get down part of Miley's song and he takes the crayon and he starts scratching her records and she doesn't fundamentally understand what they're doing.
Yeah.
And then later in that same episode, she actually gets up there. She actually gets to the dance and sees them on stage. And she's like, oh shit, this shit's fly. And it was one of those moments where all the characters at that moment are all working. Everything is good.
Which, as a dramatic, like the story arc, usually that's the opposite of what happens yes. in the midpoint. The midpoints with everybody is that they're like low, oh shit, the Empire is winning, oh my God, things are going bad.
But no, but that's the thing. The Empire is winning. Shaolin's dealing drugs to nope. all of the people okay. who right. he
and
wants
murdering.
Adoration for.
And murder.
And murder. Plus you have, you know, Ezekiel who's going
out.
To sell people down the river, uh-huh. papers and all. And you know that Mylene's group isn't going to fare very well, because while they've got, like, they're very, not just streetwise, but they're very aware of what's going on around them. You know that as present as they are, those, like, disco, especially in the death throes, is so cutthroat that it's not going to end well.
You know my lead's going to change. That's
not necessarily. But you have an inkling that she's going to change, but you know that the industry will change around her,
right,
and she may not be able to adapt. Right. And that's where the danger really comes.
Yeah. Well, we think everybody's at a high, but really, you don't. They don't see that they are at a low, and that the bottom is about to fall out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
it's a precipice.
Yeah, you see, yeah. We see. If you just look at where they're at and what their accolades are right this second, aside from Shaolin dealing drugs and shooting the guy, but, you know, coming off the DJ battle, doing all that, you think that there's all of these, like, they're on top of the world, and they're not, you yeah. know? They're much different and better things that they could be doing to be better off in their lives.
Some of them are. I mean, and that's the thing. And that's a little bit of the sadder thing is that you have some of the characters are on a high. You've got, you've got Dizzy, who's finding himself. You've got Ra-Ra and Boo, who are like, oh, hey, we do have a talent for something. You know, you've got all these side characters that are going up.
Right.
But when the bottom comes out.
It's a subjective experience versus the audience and the viewer. Like, they know what's coming.
Uh-huh.
I got you.
So it's one of those things that's where, like Ezekiel, Shaolin Fantastic, and even Mai Li to a degree, and even her uncle, Papa Fuerte, and her mother, there's like,
oh, yeah,
there's a thing there. So there's all these people that are pretty much like, okay, things are all right. You know, they're about to drag a whole bunch of people down with them,
yeah,
and that shit's not going to be pretty.
Which is interesting, and that makes the second season even more exciting.
And that, yeah, that's so what I think we all
really enjoyed the show, obviously, to some extent more than less. You know, like I liked the little bits of Bruce Lee kind of elements.
You know how to read my mind. It's the only, like, let's be real, Christina was actually relevant for a good solid 2.5 weeks.
It was good. It was fun.
It's a good song.
It is a good song.
And that's the thing. The music alone, like, really I enjoyed it. Like, it didn't seem like, you know, Smash or Nashville where it was just like, there are these songs. Even, and, you know, I will throw in Empire to it where you have these songs that, you know, it's a Smash hit. No, it's not. This song is trash. But, you know, like, Mylene's song is actually really good. Yes,
Set Me Free was,
you know,
a really good job.
Fantastic.
The battle for the Get Down against the Herculoids.
Yep.
Really good. Even the Herculoids are very good. And that's, you know, I love the attention to detail that it comes to, you know, the soundtrack and the lyrics and, you know, the influences going on at this time. Because if done wrong, it totally takes you out of this genre, this era that we're in. And we all know so well because who hasn't heard, you know, The Village People and Disco Duck and Donna Summer?
They even referenced Disco Duck.
Disco
there,
Biscuit?
You know?
What?
Disco Biscuit. No, the only thing, the Christina song is almost pitch perfect, but there is a touch of modern in it, in the way they realized it, that almost pulls you out.
And here's why. Because close. The gays are sickening and ahead of the curve.
There we go.
Yep.
There you go. That explains it. Thank you. Thank you, Alyssa.
How? Thank you.
I got you. I got a carrot for you here. Well, if you have any other shows you would like us to gloriously deconstruct and riff on and make fun of or praise, please let us know on our Facebook, Flame On Show, our Twitter, Flame On Podcast, and you can email us all at flameonshow.com. We also have a Patreon, and this is, again, Ron. We love you, Ron. I know you're coming to Orlando soon. You better hit us all up.
Is he?
He is. But thank you for our Patreon subscribers, all of you. But Ron also specifically gave us this suggestion, even though we were already going to do it, which we appreciate it. And it really did make the alcohol flow more than it normally does. So if you like this stuff, please like and review us on iTunes. SoundCloud, Stitcher, all your other favorite podcast destinations.
And remember, if you don't get enough Orlin in your life, you can totally follow me on Stupid Podcast, and you can read all of my comic book reviews. They drop multiple times a week on scifipulse.net because what? .nets are still cool.
Do they do that throughout the week?
I write a bunch of reviews and we space them out. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm the Duchess of Dorks, so come on, everyone. Duchess I need some.
Is that really?
I'm the Duchess of Dorks. Yeah.
Okay. I want to make a costume.
It's actually my bio that I need to have put up on the website.
Well, we owe BJ a bio on the website too. We haven't forgotten. The other thing is New York Comic Con is coming up. I think this comes out before. So if you are in the New York area on the 4th of October, we'll be at the Rock Bar at 8 o'clock for New York Comic Con Presents Fan Feud. Pat and I will be there with Ariel Italic, Joshua Yale from IGN and formerly Flame on Fame.
Tell that bitch I said hey.
I will. And our special guest, Ophira Eisenberg from NPR's Ask Me Another quiz show.
Ooh.
I mean, Pat is very excited.
That's a big get.
I'm also very excited because not only is she going to be on the show, which she has been before, we're going to be asking quizzes of her. And I don't think that's pretty intimidating, to be quite honest.
And then we get to go drink with her later.
That's
really
more
exciting. It's all started out as let's get drinks. And then it turned into, hey, we're doing the show. Come on. And she's like, yes.
Ophira is fierce and a lovely person. So please, if you're in New York, you're not going to want to miss it. It's a $5 donation at the door to the One Orlando Fund, for Pulse victims. So we are raising money. Thank you, New York Comic Con, for letting us do this. And please come check us out. And I think that's it. So, flame off.
The get down.
Thanks for listening to Flame On, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review us on iTunes, like and follow us on SoundCloud and Audioboom, or subscribe and stream on Google Play. Flame On was created by Brian Pittard and is engineered by Pat O'Rourke. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network, and there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programs, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com and be sure to follow Nerdy Show and Flame On all your favorite social networks. Follow us at Flame On Podcast on Twitter and Flame On Show on Facebook, Tumblr, and all your favorite gay hookup apps. If it's gay and geeky, we've got you covered.